Looking at the last couple of weeks, the preview of Proverbs found here in Proverbs chapter number 2, and as we began to study the book of Proverbs chapter number 2, we made mention that chapter 2 of the book of Proverbs really does send the reader on a treasure hunt, and this treasure hunt no doubt is a quest for the wisdom of God. So far in this study, we have seen in verses 1 through 4, God's prerequisite for acquiring wisdom, and in that we understood that we are to receive and we are to respond. Respond to God's word. And then after we receive it and respond to God's word, we're to resolve God's word inside of our heart. Today we're going to pick up in verses 5 through 9 as we understand this, number 2, God's promises for the earnest believer. God's promises for the earnest believer. So let's read these verses, chapter 2, verses 5 through verse number 9, then we'll go to the Lord in a word of prayer. So who would read for us this evening verses 5 and 6? All right, thank you. Then who would read verses 7 through 9? All right, thank you, Sheila. Go ahead, brother.
Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, out of his mouth come knowledge and understanding.
He layeth up crowns for the just with the righteous. He is a buckler to them that fall upright. He keepeth the path of their head and preserveth the way of the
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time we can gather together this evening, Father, for this time of Bible study, Father. We pray, Lord, as we continue to study the promises for the earnest believer this evening, Father, that we would be encouraged by what we're going to hear today. Father, we do ask this. Perhaps if there could be anybody here this evening that does not know Christ as their own personal Savior, that this might be the evening, Father, when the Holy Spirit of God pricks their heart and, Father, leads them to that wonderful salvation that only comes by faith through Jesus Christ and what he has accomplished for us on the cross. So, Father, I pray now that you'll be with us this evening. We seek, Father, just to give you honor and glory this evening. So we pray now and ask these things in Christ's name we pray. Again, notice here in verses chapter 2, verses 5 through verse number 9, God's promise for the earnest believer. Notice in verse number 5, we find the then of the if statements. Let's go back and read verses 1 through 4, and it will make sense with the if part when we get to the then part. The Bible says, my son, here's the if part of the statement, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then we get to the next part, the then statement. Then, that means if verses 1 through 4 are accomplished, then, verse number 5, thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of the Lord. It says we think about the wisdom of God, understand this, that wisdom is not only a person that we are to love according to chapter 1 and verse number 20. We find as well as we look at this passage of Scripture, wisdom is a path that we ought to walk down. Look at verse number 8. Notice verse number 8 of Proverbs chapter 2. The Bible said, he keepeth the path of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. So the book of Proverbs uses this word path and way, and the plural versions of paths and ways just about 100 different times. And I think the emphasis found here in chapters 2 through chapter number 4 is on the blessings of God that the people of God can enjoy as they walk in the way or walk in the path of God. So remember, the path of wisdom always leads to life, but the way of folly always leads to death. I'm reminded of Proverbs 14 and verse 12, where the Bible says, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So when we walk this path of wisdom, we could be assured of three things. Number one, we could be assured that God protects us. We could be assured that God directs us. And lastly, we could be assured that God perfects our path. So notice the first of these promises that God has for earnest believers. Notice in verse number 5, the first promise, if we walk in the pathways of God, that we can have an intimate knowledge of God himself. But when you think about that, we can have an intimate knowledge knowledge of God himself. That really just encourages me. Not only do I understand this, that God has an intimate knowledge of me, but I can have an intimate knowledge of God. Notice verse 5. The Bible says, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You know, if you think about it, it's one thing just to fear God, but it's quite another thing to understand the implications or the results of fearing God. Throughout the Bible, we find this term, the fear of the Lord, and it's shown really to be a positive spiritual virtue. I'm going to read a couple of verses that I hope that might find application to your life as we think about the fear of the Lord. In Psalm 19 and verse number 9, the Bible says this, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. That word clean literally means this, nothing in it corrupts our morals or defiles our soul. So think about that. You know, we put a lot of things into our mind and through our eye gate, through our ear gate, but I can promise you this, that the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Proverbs 10 and verse 27, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days. In Proverbs 14, 26, we find this, and the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. Proverbs 14 and verse 27, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. In Proverbs 16 and verse 6, we find these words, and the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. And then in Proverbs 19, verse 23, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord tendeth or leadeth to life. In Proverbs 22 and verse 4, we find this wonderful passage of Scripture, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Boy, I like all those verses that speak about the fear of the Lord, but Proverbs 22 and verse number 4 really just does something to my soul. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Remember this, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, not the end of it. Look over in your Bible again as a reminder to Proverbs 1 and verse 7. The Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So think about that. The fear of the Lord is just the beginning of our knowledge. It's not the end of it. And the fear of the Lord, when we respect God for who he is and what he has done for us, it leads us to trust him. And trusting him leads us to love him more and more. You see, we can hear God's word, and we can receive God's word and God's wisdom, and then we hide his commandments in our heart. We apply ourselves to that understanding of God's word, and then after receiving it and after hearing it, we can ask ourselves earnestly to say, God, help me apply the wisdom to my life. But again, it takes us to receive it, and it takes us to hear it. It takes us to apply it. And then we can ask God earnestly for his wisdom in our life. And once we do that, guess what? We're well on our way, the Bible says, for understanding what the fear of the Lord is. So let me ask you this question this evening. Are you willing to receive God's word? Are you willing to search for wisdom? As we saw in chapter 1, we're to search for wisdom as we would a lost treasure. I think the blessing of wisdom is found in this. It's not in getting wisdom, it's understanding who God really is. Not only do we have the promise of the intimate knowledge of God, look in verse number 6. Notice we have a second promise, and that is the promise of wisdom for successful living. I don't know about you, but I want to live a successful life. Not in the eyes of the world, not in the eyes of you, but in the eyes of God. And listen, I believe this, that if you're successful in the eyes of God, God will see to it that you're successful in the eyes of the world as well. Wisdom for successful living. Notice what it says. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. And this explains why the fear of the Lord literally is the foundation of wisdom. The source of all our wisdom that we have attained and have is none other than God himself. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 24. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 24. And I need someone to read that verse for us. And then I need someone to read verse number 30 for us as well. I promise you, there's no big names in here that you can stumble over. Who would read 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 24 for us? All right, Fran, and then Henry, you read verse number 30. All right. So from these two verses, along with a myriad of other verses that we could have chosen tonight, understand this, that the wisdom comes from none other than God himself and also the written word of God. John Phillips, in his commentary on the book of Proverbs, says this, knowledge and understanding didn't come from the mouths of Buddha and Muhammad. Knowledge and understanding didn't come from the mouths of politicians and educators and philosophers or scientists. Wisdom and knowledge didn't come from the mouth of familiar spirits. The utterance of mediums have not contributed a single sentence to the golden sayings of mankind. Great thinkers have contributed to religious thought. Some men have attracted millions of followers, but true wisdom can only be found in worldly ideologies. The Bible says the Lord giveth wisdom. You see, I believe this to be true, and the Bible teaches that when we really know God, we desire to learn more about God and how that God desires for you and I to live. And as we seek God, the Spirit of God enlightens our mind and he gives us wisdom and knowledge and understanding. As a way of application, that means three things for you and I. First of all, it means this. We don't find wisdom and then help ourselves to it. Kind of like you find some cookies in the cabinet and then you just help yourself to them. God's wisdom is not like that. Here's the truth. We find God and then he gives us his wisdom. The treasure at the end of the search is not wisdom. The treasure at the end of our search for wisdom is truly God himself and his son, Jesus Christ. We could say this, that wisdom isn't a matter of discovering things, but it's a matter of God's revelation of himself to you and I. It means something else. Secondly, tonight, it means that wisdom is ours solely because of God's grace. In the end, guess what? We can't earn wisdom. You know, you can try to go to school and go to college and maybe study the Bible. You can't earn wisdom, and you're surely not worthy of wisdom. God's wisdom overflows literally from the heart of God, and he wants the very best for his people. So as we're obedient to him and as we trust him, as we seek God's will for our life, wisdom will come to us. I think thirdly it means this. I think wisdom is the gracious reward for those who are devoted and obedient to him. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 26, God's word says this. For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight, get this now, wisdom and knowledge. And if that wasn't good enough, guess what he adds on? He says, and joy. But to the sinner he giveth travail, to gather and to heap up, that he may give to himself that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. James says something a little bit different in James 3 and verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So understand this, that God really has some promises for us as we look at that. Well, not only do we have the promise of the intimate knowledge of God, not only do we have the promise for the wisdom for our successful living, but notice in verses 7 and 8, we have the promise of protection from harmful influences. Notice the first part of verse number 7. The Bible said, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. That expression, he layeth up, comes from the same Hebrew word that's translated hide in verse number 1. It literally means this, to lay up, to hide as one would hide a treasure. Today we might call it this, we're laying aside something for a rainy day. And we do that because we know after we lay it aside, it's going to be there when we need it. And the promise is simply this, that if we walk upright in God's wisdom, it will be there for us when we most need it. You know, I think of how that truth comes alive to our life. You know, oftentimes that we lay up God's word in our heart and we study it and we meditate it and oftentimes memorize God's word, and it's there for us, and the Holy Spirit will bring it up to remembrance to us just at the exact moment that we need it. And that expression that's found in that verse, sound wisdom, comes from a Hebrew word that refers to stability. And so Solomon really was telling us this, that only those who find God's wisdom has stability in their life. And if you don't have God's wisdom in your life, guess what? You're going to experience turmoil and trouble inside your life. The object of wisdom is literally to protect us from the instabilities that life offers us. Well, notice the second part of verse number 7. You'll like this. The Bible said he is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. That word buckler is referring to a shield. And it's referring to a small, round shield carrying into battle by the Roman soldier or the Hebrew soldier. It was used really to fend off arrows and to fend off sword blows by the enemy. I think of a modern-day illustration of this would be, I don't know if you ever watched Captain America, but I think Captain America has a little shield, right, he fends stuff off with. If you ever watched any of the Roman gladiators, sometimes they carry full body armor, but sometimes they have little shields, and they fend off arrows and darts, and they fend off shield blows. It wasn't a very large shield, as sometimes we see in the Bible. This shield is for fighting. It's not for hiding. It's not for hiding behind. And I thought about that. What a wonderful truth for you and I today. Because understand this, that God himself becomes a shield of protection to those who the Bible says live uprightly. It all begins with the promises that are found in verse number 1 through verse number 5. And the premise is this, the premise of receiving, of hiding, of inclining, of applying, of crying, of seeking and searching for wisdom that's found in God's word. I hope you really understand. The Christian life really is a battleground, and it's not a playground. The Lord himself literally absorbs the blows aimed at us as we battle the enemy. He says that he is our shield. I think of Psalm 3 and verse number 3. The Bible says, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and lighter up of my head. And Psalm 5 in verse number 12, the Bible says this, for thou, Lord, wilt thou bless the righteous? Wilt thou, with favor, wilt thou compass him as with a shield or a buckler? In Psalm 18 in verse number 2, the Bible says this, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, and whom I will trust. But then notice these words. It says, my buckler, my shield, we could say, and the horn is my salvation and my high tower. And then the psalmist writes in Psalm 84 in verse number 11, for the Lord God is a sun, and gets the next word, and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So understand this, that he is our shield. He is our buckler. I think Paul continues this thought about protection from harmful influences in verse number 8. Look at verse number 8 of Proverbs chapter number 2. The Bible says, he keepeth the path of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. And I think the thought here is that God is not only our buckler, not only our shield, but he's also our guard. I think about the Apostle Paul in Acts 28 and verse 16. The Bible says that when he came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoner to the captain of the guard. But Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. Understand this, just as the Apostle Paul was kept or guarded in Rome. You and I are kept, or get this, we're guarded by God himself. And guess what? In his guarding of us, he keeps us on the right path. He keeps us on the path by helping us to make those right judgments, or we could use the word choices, in our life. He also keeps anything from getting to us while we are on that path that he does not allow. Listen, we ought to say glory to God. Thank God for that. He's my buckler. He's my shield. He helps me make the right choices while I'm on this pathway as well. We could say this. He safeguards us. He defends us. And guess what? He even cares for us while we're on that path as well. Well, not only do we have the promise of the intimate knowledge of God himself, we have the promise of wisdom for successful living. But then thirdly, we have the promise of protection for our harmful influences. Notice in verse number 9, and then we'll close with this. Notice the promise is the mastery in the truly important areas of our life. The mastery in the truly important areas of our life. Let's read verse 9 again. The Bible says, "Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path." Again, we find the "then" in conjunction with that word "if" that's common in this book of Proverbs. Solomon says, "Then thou shalt understand." We already have covered righteousness and judgment and equity and what they really mean in chapter 1 in verse number 3. But Baker's commentary on the Old Testament wisdom in Psalms says this: "These three are equivalent to the conscience and shape of a person's moral sensitivity. They constitute a good path that a person should follow in life." Never forget that God is on the side of righteousness. God is on the side of justice. God is on the side of fair play. Even though we can't always see God's hands working in the affairs of men and in our lives, guess what? He is always there working and moving behind the scene. You see, wisdom, true wisdom, discerns that God's hand is there, even as folly scoffs at God's wisdom. Well, the word "path" really is a fascinating word. It literally means this. It means a wagon rut. Bruce Waltke in his commentary of Proverbs writes this: "While the earth is soft, wagon wheels press the trails that others are obligated to follow after it dries and hardens." I guess the best way I could illustrate this is back in the pioneering days, as people moved from the east out to the west, after someone blazed a trail, they left a path, the two wheels for their wagons, and people were obligated to follow that. Once that trail was blazed out to Oregon, once that trail was blazed out to the west, everyone would follow that path. Almost they were obligated to do that. Understand this. While we make tracks and we make paths and we make ruts there in our life, wisdom would help you and I to make good and useful ruts, or we could say even habits, for others to follow along behind us. Well, not only do we see God's prerequisite for acquiring wisdom, we saw God's promises for the earnest believer, and we saw God's prescription for the believer's walk. We're going to stop right here tonight, and next week we'll pick up in verses 10 through verse number 20, and we'll look at God's prescription for the believer's walk. Let's pray.